The teens can actually remain in here. All the teens are going to be together with the adults this morning. We want to welcome you to Sunday school class. He is risen. What a joy to have you here for Easter Sunday, and what a reminder it is for me to have Gary and Yvonne Trometer here. These are spiritual parents to me, and when I was just a child, I was picked up on a bus. I think I was 6 or 7 years old at Oak Forest Baptist Temple. They brought me there, and I can remember Yvonne and a lady by the name of Mae Ketterman, who's with the Lord now, would share the gospel with me. I can remember the Wordless Book and many, many songs. In fact, when I was ordained in 2001, Mae Ketterman came to my ordination, and she brought all of those tattered children's songs and stories to me, and I still have them today. So, you know, the Lord has an amazing way of reaching us, and it's a reminder to all those who work with children that the fruit, you never know what God's going to do. And so what a joy that we support the Trometers in Brazil, and just to see their church planting efforts and to know and love their family. They're here. Their son is getting an MDiv, and they're getting a grandchild. So praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. So without further ado, I just want to open us in prayer, and we'll give this right over to Gary and Yvonne. Father, we thank you for this day in which we can remember that death is dead, that Jesus Christ is risen, and that points to our future resurrection. We thank you for Gary and Yvonne and their faithful service to you in Brazil. We thank you for what they're doing. We pray for the churches that are over there, those that are being covered by other pastors and missionaries. Protect them, strengthen them. And as Gary and Yvonne share, help us to have a vision as to how we can pray and participate in the ministry that you have there for them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Okay, it is a great pleasure to be here with you this morning. And we want to just say, first of all, thank you for your faithful support to us. First, at Tabernacle over there in on Barrington Road, and with, I don't know, two pastors ago. I can't remember the guy's name, but anyways, remember his name? Goes out of your head. When you need it, you know, goes out of your head. Anyways. And so we've been, I don't know, 10 or 15 years associated with your ministry here. And it is really cool that you have this new facility and this new building. And I can see on the internet when I check your website and things like that and get some news from you that God is blessing here, and I pray that he'll continue to bless. So thank you very much for supporting us and being behind us. We really appreciate it. And we're going to give you an update here in a little bit with our PowerPoint presentation. But I want to just say that just like Pastor Black, my story starts at the same church, Oak Forest Baptist Temple. We lived, I don't know, about 2 miles, 3 miles away from the church, which was called Calvary Baptist Church at that time. And then a neighbor came and invited us to Vacation Bible School, and my brother and I went. And then later we were going back to our Methodist church one day, and my mom got sick. And as she was driving there in the parking lot, she got really sick, and she said, "Oh, I have to go home." And so while we were going home, she felt better. She turned the car around, went back in the parking lot, and got sick all over again in the parking lot. And she said, "Oh, that's it. I'm going home this time for sure." And as we were going home, we were talking to her, and we said, "Hey, Mom, you know, that's up here is where the Calvary Baptist Church is, where we went to Bible school." And she remembers us talking about Vacation Bible School, how much we liked it and the things we learned and all this. And my mom felt better at that time. So she turned in. And she said, "My being there, I just could feel the music, the atmosphere, the friendliness of the people and the preaching, all of it just fit. And I knew this is where I should be." And shortly after that, my brother and I have a twin brother who I found out is the teacher of one of your kids here. He's a sixth grade teacher over at Schaumburg now, and we both went to Christian Brigade. And there we were, after 3 weeks, on the same night, not knowing it, we both made decisions to accept Christ as our Savior. And that's how our journey started. And I have to tell you, they told me I was a sinner and that God didn't like that. He was a holy God. And because of that, I would be separated from Him in a place called hell. And I didn't want to go there. Now, how do I get out of there? And some people think that's too simple and that's too selfish to say I just want to escape hell. But that's all I knew. And that's one mode of good enough. But I found out now that I have a great God. And the good thing to know is that He loves me and He wants to have a relationship with me. And if you've only just escaped hell, well, good for you, okay? But there's more to this Christian life. And that really, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to know Him, to whom to know is life eternal.
Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world by landmass and population. It is famous for the immense Amazon River that has the largest amount of water of any river in the world. When most people think of Brazil, they often think of exotic or even dangerous animals. Many people have heard of the tribal Indians who live in the tropical rainforests of Brazil. But the majority of people live in large metropolitan areas like Rio de Janeiro with 10 million plus in population, São Paulo, with a population of 20 million, and our large metropolitan city of Porto Alegre. Porto Alegre is the capital of the southernmost state of Brazil called Rio Grande do Sul. It is the fourth largest city in the country and has a metropolitan population of almost 4 million. Our state is famous for its Brazilian cowboys called gauchos. Most people dressed in modern clothing, but it is not at all unusual to see a man walking down the street in big, baggy pants called bombachas. A very common sight is to see people drinking chimarrão. This is an herbal tea which is sipped through a metal pipe from a hollow gourd. After your host sips his gourd of chimarrão, to show hospitality and friendship, he will refill his gourd with hot water and offer you the very same metal pipe and gourd to sip some delicious chimarrão. I surreptitiously wipe off the pipe and drink and say, "Lord, preserve me, I'm doing this for you." Our state has more than 400 cities. 66 of these cities have more than 50,000 in population. We can safely say that at least 95% of these cities lack any kind of gospel preaching church. Our state is very European. It was colonized by German and Italian immigrants at the end of the 19th century. There are still towns today where the residents converse in German and Italian. God has led us to work in the city of Canoas, which is a suburb of Porto Alegre. Canoas is the third largest city in the state with a population of 327,000. If you think of Brazil as a land full of churches, you are entirely accurate. But what you might not realize is that probably 99 out of 100 of those churches teach salvation through works in one form or another. The religious atmosphere in Rio Grande do Sul is much more reserved than in other parts of Brazil, due to the strong European influence both through the Catholic and Lutheran churches. It is also notable that Porto Alegre, with its 30,000 Spiritist meeting places, is the center of spirit worship for all of Brazil. Brazilians flock to churches that offer the prosperity gospel. But few people are interested in repenting of their sins and trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, there's no lack of religiousness in Brazil, but there is a huge lack of gospel truth. For the past few years, we have been seeking to build up a congregation in the neighborhood of Estância Velho. We praise the Lord that at this location we have property and a building that is paid for. Our present task is to train our members for the work of the ministry, and we began to give rides to church for 12 in this green truck. We upgraded to a red van and each week saw around 20 people come to church. many of whom came from our children's club at the community center in the neighborhood of Machias Value. After a time, we had to upgrade our van to a bus, but this proved to be both costly and time-consuming. So we rented a building in the Machias neighborhood where the believers could walk to church. This is the storefront that was ideal for our needs. This building was two blocks away from the community center where we had weekly children's club in the neighborhood of Machias Value. We live in a strategic place to fulfill our vision for Canoas, which is to continue with the establishment of our present church in the neighborhood of Estancia Value and call a pastor to this work. Next, we would like to see the new group in the neighborhood of Machias Value grow. Then, we envisioned a new church plant near the Lutheran University of Brazil. With all of our planning, we discovered another church of like faith and practice on the same street and 1 mile from our church front or storefront in Machias Value. Igreja Batista Aliança began in 1991, but we had never known of its existence. Pastor Daniel and Nadia came from São Paulo to do an internship in this church in 1998 and have been laboring there ever since. Pastor Daniel had a vision for his ministry as well. Remember where we live and minister? Then Pastor Daniel's church was 1 mile from our work near the community center in Machias. I asked Pastor Daniel to become the national pastor of our church in Estancia Value. But it is interesting to note that he had a vision to plant a new church near the Lutheran University as well. We believe our like visions for ministry were not just coincidence. The first step to initiate this church plant near the Lutheran University was to have an evangelistic Bible study in the book of Romans. This Bible study started in an elementary school 1 mile from our house. Rose and Darley were saved through this study, as well as Rubens and Patricia. Pray for the salvation of the children of both of these couples. Yvonne is the church pianist, and we have taught Pastor Daniel's church more than 60 new hymns. Yvonne also teaches music theory to children and adults alike. Gary works with the youth. Yvonne has been teaching English to various students in our home. Evangelism through English has created wonderful opportunities to make many new unsaved friends and share the gospel. Another project we will be helping with is a church plant in the neighboring city of Esteio. Remember our current ministries in Canoas? Esteio has captured the interest of our pastor's fellowship because of the state fair in Esteio, where every year 500,000 people visit in August and 100,000 tracts have been passed out for each of the last 5 years. We are cooperating in this project with another Baptist church in our city of Canoas. Our ministry projects for the next term are church planning in the neighborhood where we live called Igara, church planning in the city of Esteio, music training, English evangelism. We ask that you pray for us and the following people with whom we work. Pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Okay. If you have any questions, we'll take your questions, but I just wanted to explain that on that Friday night Bible study that we do in Igata, that study moved from the school that it was meeting in. We are not allowed to meet there anymore. The state made a regulation against that. You know, the old thing was separation of church and state, right? And anyways, the group asked that to meet in our garage, in our house. And so we have a two-car garage. It's all finished off and tiled up and all that. And so that's where we've met for the last year and a half, in our garage. And then Pastor Danielle, who had been doing this study, asked me to finish the book of Romans. And so I did that. And then I started it up again when we started after a summer break. Our summer is December, January, and February, okay? Those are our hot months, okay? We never get used to having Christmas with T-shirt and shorts and sandals on. It just never seems like Christmas. How do you decorate, you know, or anything like that? So we had a summer break, and then we restarted, and I was teaching that for about 4 weeks before we came on our furlough. Pastor Danielle is teaching that group, and then when I get back in August, we'll continue with that Bible study, provided that all of the new people that started coming will start coming. And it was interesting. Have you ever tried to do a film to track the whole neighborhood and everything like that? We did a film and nobody came. All right? Yeah, okay, but we tried something. Passed out about 1,000 invitations, you know, around. And then we said, well, let's go network. And if we were to take a show of hands here, we would find out that most people got saved because somebody, a friend, invited them to church, or they were brought to church in their family. It's some kind of connection with somebody. And I call this your network where you live. And so we encourage the people to go and invite people in their network. You know that guy where you pay for your gasoline all the time? You maybe see that same face. You say, how's the weather? You know, talk about football or something like that. Maybe you don't know the guy's name, but he's kind of familiar to you. Well, those kind of people, when you go and pay, well, I guess in America you don't do that at a gas station. You just swipe the card. You don't see anybody and you go away, okay? But at least we have people pump our gas. But when you go to the mini market, or you go to the fruit stand, or you go to the beautician, or wherever you go, these people you interface with, we should, as we pay, give them an invitation. And so we tried to do that. And we passed out invitations like that. In our second Bible study, 6 people came. And so we praised the Lord for that. And they even put the invitation, maybe some of you that are my friends on Facebook saw our invitation come up on Facebook. And a couple from the neighboring city of Esteo, north of us, came over. They had been met at the state fair, where those 500,000 people come every year. And he received one of those tracts. And for a time, he was attending a church in Porto Alegre, but he found out it was too far to go. So Marcos and Michele, they came over to our Bible study on Friday night, and now they're attending our church. So praise the Lord for that. And they needed some stability. Where their church was at, they were, I guess they said they had some kind of problem there in Esteo. It was a convention or a Southern Baptist church, and it had problems, and it closed for a while. And it was reopening, but they were doing it with the band and the whole thing like that, and he was not very happy with that whole business. And so he came over by us, and they're really about Esteo. This other city is just 15 minutes away from us. We can be pretty much anywhere in Esteo in about 15 minutes. So that's kind of what's going on with us. That's my ministry part, is doing these Bible studies on Friday night, working with the youth. Yvonne has English classes and is teaching music theory on Wednesday night to the kids while we have prayer meeting. And then we have a music group. They stand in the front row and sing. We don't have anybody up in the front waving the hand, and somebody introduces music, but then 2 people stand in the front, and when they start singing, everybody sings with them. That's how they do it. So we practice with that group every other week, and like we said in our presentation, we've taught them about 60 hymns, Because when we came to them, like this fella here who plays the guitar, that's all they played was a guitar. And the pastor wanted to upgrade to some hymns, not just choruses. And he was trying to teach it to the guy that plays the guitar, but he couldn't get the chords and stuff like that. So we've helped them with a new hymn book that has all the chords in it. So we're upgrading their music, and this is the direction they want to go. So, any questions? That was just some extended explanation. Yes?
How long did it take you to learn Portuguese?
We're still learning. No. We went to Portugal first, and we took classes for 9 months. And then, after about 2 years, you finally feel comfortable talking, going up to people and talking. And when you first talk, we always have an accent. There's that 1 in 10 missionaries that arrive on the field, or like our daughter Tiffany, who does not have an accent. And so what happens after about 2 years, you start crossing over when you say something and people go, they don't go, huh? You know, why? You know, oh, they respond to you and you think, oh, I've made some progress, okay? And then at the end of 4 years, you get pretty comfortable with talking in the language. And some people, you know, there's that 1 in 10 that will do it in 6 months. I mean, they're just firing on all cylinders, but that's really unusual. Most people have to just work through it. And it really takes you, and then the next term, the second term you're in, is where you get more comfortable, much more comfortable with the language as your vocabulary expands and all that kind of thing. So it is not easy. You know, we're fluent, but we have our way of saying things. And you've heard people here that are from other countries, they have a German accent or whatever, they talk like this and you think, and their grammar is not exactly the same as ours, but you understand what they're saying. Well, that's how most missionaries get along. And you hope your heart shines through over all of that, and they don't hold it against you. And most Brazilians don't. They think they're pretty thrilled when you can just talk their language. And we can start getting compliments finally now as a, wow, you speak better than most Americans. I hope so after 20-something years, you know. So, okay, yeah, the language. That is a big thing. So, anybody else? Yes?
What reason did they tell you that you couldn't stay there? What reason did they give you?
It's basically this kind of attitude that you face in America is that we're not going to support religion. This is a state school, and religion has no place here. But, you know, if they wanted to have some kind of spiritist group in there, they would classify it as a cultural experience. You see, you know how it works. Okay. So that's what they said. And it was like, well, if we let you come in, then we have to let every Pentecostal group and every... And so what? It is a state school. It is for the people in the state, right? And the facility is completely empty. You know, and as long as there's no conflict with your educational needs, why not? I mean, we moved the desk around in our room, did our thing in there, and we put it all back just like, pretty much like we found it. And we never had any complaints like, oh, it was messed up or it wasn't. Pastor Danielle never got any feedback negatively about what we did there. And the director of the school was really sad that we couldn't continue there, but her superiors passed this down. So that's kind of what's... You know, this anti-Christian thing that's going around in America is going around the world. Why? Because there's one prince of the power of the air who's orchestrating everything, you see. And it's, you know, you may think, oh, your kids might have the latest fashion here. It was already in Brazil or Germany. It goes around the whole world. Everybody's getting tattoos, you know. Everybody's kind of dressing the same, you know, and all that. We're not so unique. There's someone orchestrating this world's events, as long as he can. Yes. I would say that people are just apathetic about their religions. I mean, most Catholics that I talk to, I did an extensive survey with people, and I would ask them, do you believe in God? Yes. Oh, good. Great. What is God like? And I never got an answer. In other words, is he a nice guy or is he a mean bully or what? Well, you're a pastor. You know about that. I know what the Bible says. But according to what you've learned in your religion, I just talk in generalities like that, what do you believe God is like? And I never got an answer. And what it convinced me of, and you might find this to be true with some of your Catholic people here, or even some people in some groups, that they go and hear the terms God, forgiveness of sins, Jesus Christ, but underneath that, they have no definitions. They really don't know what those people are about or what those terms really mean. And so there's a big apathy. You have anything to add to that, Yvonne? Brazilians are very friendly. They'll talk to you. I compare them to Southerners. A Southerner will say, oh, yeah, I go to church. Can't remember the pastor's name, you know, stuff like, I go to church. I'll come to your church and all that. And they're just real open. And they never show up. And you know they're not coming. But it's just that Southern hospitality trying to please you. And that's a good thing in Brazilians, at least where we're at in our area, are like that. So, anything to add? Obstacles for... Just another thing is there's a lot of misinformation. People have all kinds of wrong ideas. And I probably hear that's true as well. They, you know, if you say that you go to a Bible church, oh, in their mind, oh, I know what that's about. You know, we're Baptists in our background and all of that. Our Bethel Baptist is our home church here. And if you say you're from a Baptist church, you know, right away they pigeonhole you. Well, you try and explain to them. You got to explain people the basis of your terms. I'm forgiven. I talked to my Muslim brother-in-law yesterday for the first time about the fact that in Christianity we are forgiven one time for all. And he goes and makes his prayers. He told me this. I make my prayers every day, various times in the day, to keep current with Allah. And I told him I don't have to do that, you know. And those kind of things you need to explain to people. And I found out that when I passed out this invitation to come to our Bible study, I would give to the people, and they like, you don't know what they're thinking. You know, they're just kind of, okay, thank you very much. And they're nice to you. And I'd say, well, do you go to church somewhere? Oh, yeah, I go to the Assembly of God. Really? Oh, great, great. How often do you go? Well, I go sometimes. Well, tell me something. What you learned in the Assembly of God, after you die, what's going to happen to you? And I ask people that question all the time. I get right to that. We can talk about baptism, whether the priest should marry. We can talk about all of these other kind of things. But I get to that question. And the one guy at the auto parts store, he said, well, I've only been going to the Assembly of God for a year, and I haven't got to that yet. Can you imagine coming to this church and after a year not knowing how to be saved and not even talk to somebody about it? He didn't even know what to say to me. And I told Idanir, this is his name, really strange name, but Idanir. I said, Idanir, if you come to our Bible study at my house, we're not going to take an offering. We're going to sing a couple songs. It's not church per se. We're just going to sing a couple songs. We're going to study the Word. We're going to answer your questions. And you know what we're going to study? We're going to study about sin, our failures, what man is like, what God is like in the book of Romans. And the problem, where is God today? We're separated from God today. Why is that? Because of our failures and our problems. Well, the book of Romans gives a solution to that. And if you'll come and listen, you will find out what God has to say to you so that you can know for sure that after this life, you'll be in His presence one day. Now, I said, we're not going to put pressure on you to make any decisions. You don't even have to come and visit our churches. Okay? You just come and you listen. And if you like it, stay. And if you don't and go away, we'll cry, you know. But we're glad that you came and listened. And He came. And He came 3 weeks in a row while I was there. He took a vacation day. And that was the last time I taught. And because, see, it's summertime. So in February, it's kind of dicey what happens. You know how it goes in your church in the summer, right? The schedules get kind of turned around. Yes.
Do they have a Christian radio station or program for CD?
Not good ones. They have the Adventists and Catholics are on the radio. Yeah, Adventists. And a lot of our people even listen to Adventists. And they are really kind of wrong on a lot of things. A lot of things. Okay? They are very, you know, Adventism, they came out of the Baptists. So they took a lot of stuff with them. But they also added in works of keeping the law. And they have some different ideas that they've added in there. The Sabbath day, of course, that's the key for them. So, but those things are on the radio. Yes?
There is a message from the church from Porto Alegre to our church here. What would it be?
I would say, just remember, and you might say, well, you need to say this because you're a missionary. I think we're really still in this world in order to win people to Christ. And you may not be the most gifted evangelist, but my favorite verse in the Bible, my key verse, is Ephesians 2:10 that says, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He planned beforehand." And Ephesians 1:4 says that He chose us before the foundation of the world to be saved. And we are to do good works in our lives. And one of the good works is to evangelize other people. And like I said, you may not be the most talented evangelist, but your life speaks. And then you need to explain to people why your life is different. And they will not know unless you explain with your lips. They'll think, oh, they're like Mormons over there, or they're like Jehovah's Witnesses. They're good, nice people. Well, we need to explain the difference. Or they could be a good Muslim like my brother-in-law. He is really a nice guy. But Alion is depending on his prayers and his good works to save him. And I think that's what we need to share with people. After you have a good life now, but after this life, then what? And wherever you are, you know the Great Commission? There we see the go. That is really what we call a participle. And the go, the command is then to make disciples. That's the command. But it's as we're going, and we are all going in different ways, in different places. God has put you where you're at. I am not extra special because I'm a missionary, okay, in God's plan. We're all part of God's plan equally. I just am able to do it full time. And we're all kind of full time, aren't we? Shouldn't we be? When you're in your workplace, people are watching you. In a coffee break, you put in a word here. Or at lunch break, you put in a word here. Or at a business picnic or something like that, you put in a word here. And people watch you. And then if you take opportunities to explain to people the hope that we have within us. And that's what makes us different. Especially in our kind of churches. There's lots of religion out there in Brazil and here. But what makes us uniquely different is that we have a hope that they don't have. And most of these groups, I'm doing the best that I can. Well, how good is enough? How good is the best you can? Well, how far do you have to do? What do you have to do? Well, I don't have to do anything. It's finished, He said on the cross. It's all done. And now I just have to be the ambassador and the witness that I'm to be. Yvonne. Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people think missionaries are special people, but we're not. Make yourself up, put yourself in in another country, that's a missionary. And we really need your prayers, and prayers make a difference. For me personally, prayer is hard, it's a battle. But when I pray for other missionaries, when I pray for my churches in the States, when I pray for my family, I'm participating in the work that God's doing in their lives. I may never go to Germany, but one day when I get to heaven, the missionary that I prayed for in Germany, I would see somebody there that would say, in part, I participated in their salvation because I prayed for them. And they just really, really, really need your prayers. Missionaries are probably under extra special attack, pastors as well, because of the ministry that we do. And I have seen that there's been times I've thought, I know somebody is praying for me because I just have extra strength. You can just really sense it. So pray. You pray for them. You are participating in what God's doing in that work down there. And God has souls that need to be saved down there, so pray, pray, pray. You may not be able to go anywhere. You may not be able to speak Portuguese or German or Italian or whatever, but you can pray.
Okay, our time's up.